This week's edition of The Wiggle Room is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, there's something about TrueCar a lot of people don't know. When you use TrueCar, they can help you buy a used car as well. In fact, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles are available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. Whether you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get upfront pricing information that empowers discounts off the list price for a used car and a better buying experience through the TrueCar certified dealer network. There's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and you'll get to see what other people paid for the car that you want, so you know what a fair price is and you can feel confident. With TrueCar, you can connect with that local certified dealer of your choosing, so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Check it out.
Josh. Wiggle.
Happy Halloween, Josh Wiggler.
Woo! We're here. It's Halloween. Yeah, Halloween Wiggle Room. It's happening. Yeah. Oh my God. Very excited. I'm like shot out of a rocket this morning. So pumped up for this week's Wiggle Room. We're free of Wanda finally, Rob. The wand off, I'm sure, is thriving, but Miss Shirk herself will not be here. It's spectacular. It's spooktacular because it's Halloween. And it's awesome because we've got your friend and mine, the great Survivor Press Corps member, Xfinity's very own Gordon Holmes here in the Wiggle Room as well. So I'm stoked. Gordon, what's up?
Josh, thank you for inviting me into the Wiggle Room. Here with a big bowl of pennies, and bit of honey to give out to the trick-or-treaters.
Penny Ramsey?
We have the...
Wow.
Also, toothbrushes, stalks of broccoli. They don't make stalks of broccoli. Stalks of celery is what they make. So the children are going to be loving their visit to the Wiggle Room.
I think broccoli has a stalk.
Does it have a stalk?
Yeah, you could cut off like the flowery part and just have like the stalk.
Isn't that the name of the famous Spice Girls stock? Isn't that the Spice Girls song, I believe?
Stop.
Seriously, stop. Seriously. Please stop. We get it. We got it. Spice Girls. It's lodged. Complaint is lodged.
Pumpkin Spice Girls. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Fun fact, I actually was listening to the Wiggle Room in preparation for this and heard the song. And when you guys didn't recognize a Spice Girl song, I had to let my voice be heard. I'm literally texting Josh immediately. What the hell's wrong
you
with you,
too?
Buddy? Come on.
Yeah. Even Gordon. A2 Holmes.
Gotta represent. Girl power.
Oh, man. Oh, God. It was frustrating. But I get it. It's lodged. Let's move on. I think we'll have plenty of other complaints to file after this week's Wiggle Room. The Hollow Wiggle Room. Like all things hollow, it will not stay, but this spooktacular is here for one night only here in the Wiggle Room. I think it's going to be a spooky Wiggle Room this year, guys. I think it's going to be a good week this week.
Okay, well, very exciting for this holiday edition of the Wiggle Room, Josh.
Yeah, it should be fun. Looking forward to it. Gordon, what are you going as for Halloween this year?
This is awful. The couple that used to throw the kick-ass Halloween party we used to go to got divorced. So
very
no
spooky
party this year. Commitment is spooky. As far as costumes go, we don't have anything planned. However, anybody who knows I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. Mm-hmm. And they released an inflatable Ecto-1 lawn decoration. So I'm very excited to get that up next to my Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Also debating doing one of those projection things on a window, with a Slimer, so the kids in my neighborhood better not be scared of no ghost, because they're going to be in for a ghost-busting good time.
Gordon, didn't you have a legendary Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume as a kid?
I did. When I was really young, I lived in Jakarta, Indonesia, and in 1984, we got a bootleg version of the movie Ghostbusters, and I told my mom I wanted to be the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and you don't go trick-or-treating in Indonesia, you go to the American Embassy, where they have like a parade and like awards. And when it came to my age group, the winner was the Pillsbury Doughboy, which I was furious about until they pushed me up on stage, assuming I was the Pillsbury Doughboy. I did take the $5 gift certificate to the snack bar, but I was furious that Indonesia wasn't hip to Stay Puft just yet.
Yeah, Ghostbusters hadn't really hit Jakarta at this point.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Rob, what are you going as for Halloween this year?
I think that I am roped into my family's Toy Story stuff, and I think I have a Mr. Potato Head shirt. Like, I think that I'm not a big costume guy, but I think I'm part of a Toy Story group.
I think if you really committed to the part, you could be a fairly legendary Woody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that Woody's already taken that in the Toy Story draft, Woody and Buzz Lightyear Buzz Lightyear was actually picked twice by my kids.
Yeah,
and
I thought there were two Buzz Lightyears.
We had to talk one into Woody.
I feel like you guys are really missing a golden opportunity for you and Nicole to go as a Slinky Dog.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Perfect.
Oh my God, that's great. I'm going as Tyler Weigert.
Oh. Tyler Weigert.
Yeah, that's my costume this year. I wonder how many Tyler Weigerts will be going to trick-or-treating this year. Probably a lot. All right, well, should we just hop into the Wiggle Room this week? I mean, it's tons to talk about with Survivor Episode 5, Adios to Rourke this week. Gordon, how are you feeling about the season so far?
You know, I've kind of had a problem where my Survivor enthusiasm has waned a bit post Game Changers. The whole Varner Zeke thing kind of threw me off my game for a little bit. And I kind of like this as kind of like a palate refresher where it's not like every week, like a sledgehammer of a mega move or a super blindside or stuff like that. It's just kind of back to basics, which I think I really appreciate. And seeing Rourke go this week, you know, you see the situation where it's 2-2-1. The one person is smart to work into a swing vote, but Chrissy kind of, you know, Rourke blocked her there, and she wasn't able to make that happen. So I know some people are a little down on the season, but I kind of like it as something to kind of, you know, a restart, as you would say, for the series.
Josh, I remember during, like, Survivor San Juan del Sur, I felt like that there were a lot of people that were, especially in the pre-merge of that season, a lot of people were just sort of just down on Survivor overall. And I just think that it bears noting that, you know, seasons and thinking of the fan base does change in a hurry with these things.
I think that's right. I feel like, you know, 5 weeks into this season, I feel like I know the contestants pretty well at this point. I feel like the game is starting to pick up.
Did you hear that? Is a browser window open?
What was that? What was that? That was... Gordon, was that you?
I didn't hear anything, Josh.
Wait. Rob, you heard that, though, right?
Yeah, I definitely did. We can go back and edit that out also. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go back to what you're saying.
That was really odd. Anyway, I was talking about the fact that I think, you know, we know these players pretty well at this point. I think the fact that the game is starting to pick up at this point. That tribal council, I really didn't know if we were going to lose Rourke or Chrissy. Okay, so there's like definitely somebody like singing the word Wanda in like a very haunting Are You Afraid of the Dark type of voice right now, right? Or am I literally just going crazy?
What? Guy, hey, I'm kind of new to this. What the hell are you talking about, Josh?
That's like creepy.
Yeah. Gordon is like really expertly trolling us right now. I don't understand why he's not owning up to it.
Josh, we've got that press brotherhood. You know, there's not a thing in this world I will not do for you. You should get some help. You should talk to somebody. This is
like from an exorcist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because Rob and I can both hear this voice. I mean, Rob, if I need help, you need a lot. So
sure. Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. So maybe you and I are having some sort of shared hallucination. All right. Well, we'll go back. We'll edit all this stuff out and just move forward with the Wiggle Room. You can cut around the weird noises that are happening, right?
Sure thing.
So unprofessional.
Sure thing.
Yeah. Gordon, you brought up our press brotherhood, and I feel like we should spend some time on this before we go any further. You are the great Gordon Holmes of Xfinity fame. You are a legend in the Survivor press circuit. Can you paint a picture of like what that experience is like and what your journey to getting out to the beach was like for the first time?
For the first time? Well, a lot of like obviously, Josh, you put in your time. You became known in the Survivor community and then were invited out, I believe, by CBS. What happened to me was very, very different. I worked for Comcast in the promotions department for like, you know, shopping and dating and all these different things that would be promoted on the website. And they invited CBS, invited a member of our TV team to come out there, which I was not a member of. And basically what the pitch was, yeah, come to Africa, sleep in a tent for a week, get eaten alive by bugs, and, you know, come watch Survivor. And to a person, every member of the TV team turned it down. They were not interested. However, fortunately, the manager of that team knew I was a Survivor fan, knew I had did some entertainment press, and he was like, we're desperate. Do you want to do this? Of course, I, being a Survivor fan, jumped at the opportunity. And it really changed my entire career. I eventually switched over to the TV team. I now manage that team. So Survivor, I owe a lot to Survivor, and that's my story.
A real hustler.
I was a hustler.
I feel like you are clearly a member of the Hustlers tribe, though you are also a hero to me in terms of your legendary challenge prowess. Those who do not know, Gordon Holmes is the Malcolm and Joey Amazing and all of those guys of the Survivor press corps.
In many
it's
ways.
Not even close.
Right. Some people would brag about 9 consecutive wins, but I think that's very classy. So I'll leave it to other people to espouse my challenge prowess.
Gordon, tell me what you're thinking about this Soko tribe, the Yellow tribe, the tribe formerly known as the Healers. What did you think was going on this week?
I know you say Soko and my brain goes, I don't know what tribe that is.
I know. I had to clarify the color. I tried. I did.
Yeah. So, you know, right now you have like Rourke obviously went home. You've got Chrissy, you've got Ryan, you've got Allie, and you've got JP. JP wasn't going to go anywhere. Like he literally every team needs like that, like power guy for challenges. So I feel like JP was going to be super safe. So what it came down to was, you know, Allie, you know, is Ryan going to go with Allie or is going to go with Chrissy? And speaking with Rourke, and my assumption based on what happened was Rourke and Allie got so close that if Chrissy goes home, then Ryan doesn't have anybody. So I absolutely understand why he made that move. I wish Allie is my winner pick. So of course she's going to lose this year.
Allie's your winner pick? We have the same winner pick? She's definitely toast.
Oh, do we? Oh yeah, that lights out.
That's bad.
Wanda.
All right, that's seriously really freaky. Gordon, you really didn't hear it that time?
Is that the thing that goes, that's it? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah. Did you hear it this time?
Didn't hear it. Didn't hear it.
Oh, my God.
And right when you guys found out you had the same winner pick?
Yeah, and that she's not going to be able to win because we both have picked her as our winner. That was just like really eerily ominous. Like it was too perfect.
Man, Allie is cursed and as are we.
What about in terms of Rourke and being a victim of the swap? Gordon, do you subscribe to that?
I'm not a big fan of swaps, especially when they do the frequent swaps. I mean, was Rourke a victim? You know, with Devin, she's pretty much in the same boat as Devin, where she's the odd person out. She just ran into somebody in Chrissy who was able to swing it to her advantage. So, you know, and the thing is, Rourke would claim she was not swap screwed. However, once she learned about the Ryan and Chrissy having a relationship due to the super idol, realized that, you know, there were relationships that she wasn't privy to. So is she screwed? I don't think so. I think she had some room to maneuver in there. But yeah, it's like I said, you know, they roll the dice and she ended up she got the fuzzy end of the lollipop, as they say.
I do think it's an interesting point that she was making during her exit interviews with the three of us and with Dalton and everybody else she spoke with about how she did think that she wasn't swap screwed on that first watch, on like the experiencing of it. And then once she learned more details about what had happened between Ryan and Chrissy, that she felt like she was like very unconventionally swap screwed. And I think that there's something to that. Like, I wonder, you know, this idea that Ryan and Chrissy had this unshakable bond. And if you have literally no idea about that history, not to say fair or unfair, but I just think untangling that, like, how do you even go about that? How do you even account for that? Do you just have to account for the fact that, like, everybody has the potential for secrets, even if they've never met before? Is that going to be like a new level of thinking that you have to add to the, you know, to the list of things you have to worry about when you play Survivor in the future?
But if they, here's the thing, is she got outplayed is what happened. You, like, swap screw to me says, you know, this twist, you know, got me out of the game, which I don't think is accurate. If Ryan and Chrissy, they were like, hey, I'm the one that gave you the idol. Sweet, let's be buddies. And then just moved on. If they, you know, didn't have any show any signs, traditional signs of being alliance, then kudos to them. That's one of the strategies I'd always kind of talked about, a survivor sleeper. If there was a way to build like a real quick trusting bond and then go on your merry ways and just touch base very infrequently, that would be a really powerful thing, because then one person would have their ears pointing in one direction and someone could have them in the other. So I think it's more Ryan and Chrissy play her than she was swap screwed.
Yeah, I think it's also really interesting in terms of like this advantage that we saw Ryan find in the first episode of the season and then pass it off to Chrissy. And we thought that sort of like the transaction was kind of ending there in terms of, okay, well, now she has a fake idol and now let's see what's going on. But now, I mean, this did have a really big ramification in terms of this tribal council that we saw this week. And I do wonder how much that this is going to shape the season. And do we like some sort of like artificial advantage or twist that's put into the game that is driving the narrative?
Well, I think you could argue that the way they have been using these idols, you either use it at this immediate tribal or you pass it to somebody else. You think about it. So I don't think it was a coincidence that the take away the voting advantage, this is not an advantage, was used in an opportunity that it could cause a tie vote. There were five people in these tribes. If you get rid of the vote of one of the three, then you're going to have a tie vote. I think all of these things are very smartly orchestrated to cause these big moments.
Josh, how do you feel about that, where that this cross-tribal advantage passing has fostered cross-tribal alliances before the swap? Do you like that? Do you think that that is generally a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think that when it can be hard with three tribes to like really get a sense of everybody in the game, because that's so many different stories that you have to service. But now that all of the players are jumbled up and they already have some basis to start interacting with each other, I think that that speeds up that action of really clarifying the characters that are still left on the board. So yeah, I'm a fan of it, and I'm also a fan of it now that, like, if you're going out there for 37 and 38 for the next, you know, two seasons to film, like, you know that this is something that you need to potentially account for, that this is something that's potentially in the mix. And not that it hasn't been in some way, shape, or form in the mix before. The Exile Alliance that never was, from Token Cheens coming to mind. I think it's now something that you got to think is going to be a little bit more prevalent. Like, this seems to be the momentum of the way that the game is changing from season to season. And I think that some sort of cross-communication capability is something that, I don't know exactly how you account for that, but something that's probably going to happen in some way, shape, or form. And I think it's fun storytelling. I think the whole Ryan and Chrissy thing, kind of, you know, having this history with each other before they've even played, leads to some really cool story possibilities. I was sad to see Rourke go, because I think Rourke is very smart about the game and really articulate and gives good confessionals when she's allowed to give confessionals. I think that she was great, but I really loved seeing that battle between her and Chrissy. And Chrissy being able to pull ahead because of this pre-existing relationship, I thought was just an interesting note that you don't normally get on Survivor. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that's going to pop up a lot more in the future.
Josh, in terms of story, one of the questions that I had been asked to bring up on the Wiggle Room is, do you feel that Chrissy is potentially a villain in the season after this week's last episode?
That's interesting. You know, you did kind of see like a little bit of a sea change in some fans online, I thought, after this episode. And I don't know how much that's because Rourke's our people and Rourke is one of us, mm-hmm. or if it's because it really did play this way, that it was very antagonistic between Rourke and Chrissy and even Allie and Chrissy. So that's still, a dynamic that's hanging out there in the universe, is this possible adversarial relationship between these two players. But I also think that, you know, Chrissy does come off as very defensive in the episode, and there's that whole moment where she's like, I'm not even going to comment on that, or I have nothing further to add. That just kind of plays really harsh. And I could see there being some sort of turn if we're really meant to root for Allie, for instance, and we're meant to believe that Ryan has really betrayed her for Chrissy, that there could be some sort of villainous duo that emerges from those two players being aligned. I don't think that it's out of the question that we could be in for the start of a villainous Chrissy, and it would be an about face from what I think a lot of people have been thinking, is that, like, you know, Chrissy hailing from the heroes truly is a hero, but there is this more, I don't know, there's this more rougher around the edges quality to her after this week. What do you think about that, Gordon? Do you see the possibility for Chrissy kind of being like the antagonistic force over the season moving forward?
I do, and I kind of worry that it might, you know how sometimes when a male player is aggressive, it's a virtue, and when a female player is aggressive, she tends to get a lot of heat over that, which would be a shame, because Chrissy's move to put the word out there for there being an all-girl alliance as a way to target Rourke was really, really savvy. Yeah. She knew exactly how to play JP, and you watch the video and he's like, oh, all girl alliance, she's got to go. Like, she knew exactly which buttons to push for him. So it, like, she is, I could see her being an antagonist, but I hope it's viewed in the way that, you know, it should be when any player does it, because it's, you know, in that instance, it was the perfect strategy to get rid of Rourke and continue with her game with Ryan. So I could see it, but I hope people take it in the right tone.
We know that, though, the reality will be that JP Hilsebeck is the arch villain of this season, and it's just like a Kaiser Soze thing where it's all been an act, and he's just pulling the strings the entire
time. He's been bribing people with lobster, and that's how he made it happen.
They haven't shown us the secret lobster trade yet, but that has been happening underneath our noses this entire time.
He just slips someone one of those giant lobsters and says, it's Rourke's time.
Now, Gordon, famously, you have been doing the Survivor power rankings for Xfinity TV for quite some time. What was the first season that you started that? Was it Heroes versus Villains? Was it Nicaragua?
The first season was actually, it started off as just kind of like a back and forth chat with myself and Charlie Herschel during Survivor Tonkachines. And then it kind of morphed its way into, like, how can we make a game out of this? And then it became the Survivor Power Rankings. So it has been since Survivor Tonkachines, which makes me feel like an old man.
Okay. Well, you have been battling Aubrey Bracco this past week. You had Chrissy at number 2 in your power rankings heading into this week. Do you feel like that you feel confident about her in that spot after this week's episode, or will you be moving her down to give us a sneak preview of what's to come?
Every now and then I will get accused of cheating, and I truly have no access to any kind of spoilers or anything like that. I think I had Rourke last this week.
You did.
And
it was 14 out of 14.
I think it was just a matter of, you know, talk of an all-girl alliance and things like that, where it made more sense to be a swing vote for Rourke. I think Chrissy's in a good spot. If that tribe goes to tribal council again, I hate to say it, I think Allie's in trouble. I think Ryan kind of cast his die. Is that the right term? He made his pick by going with Chrissy. I don't think he would go back on it at this point. I think Ryan's probably thinking that in a final tribal council, Chrissy might be easier to beat than Allie. And so, you know, if they go back to tribal, and I hope they don't, again, I think JP is safe because I think that tribe needs him. But if they go back, I think Allie's number is up.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point. I think because it's hard to imagine the reason why Ryan would vote for Allie and force a 2-2 unless Chrissy was flexible on getting rid of JP, and I don't necessarily know why she'd be willing to do that. I do think you're right. I think if that tribe goes back to tribal, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Or Allie is, rather, yeah.
I think that there is some potential reasoning for Chrissy to want to get rid of JP, especially if the JP-Ashley thing was something that was sort of top of mind, and it certainly was talked about a lot based on what Alan was throwing out there at the Hero Tribe. So if Chrissy did feel like that there was room to maneuver, you know, that we've seen so many heroes and hustlers paired up in this season, that I think it does make some sense moving forward. But especially with the merge also around the corner, that, you know, we've seen survivors try to target the traditional merge boots maybe in that pre-merge spot. But I do think that if push came to shove, Allie could definitely go home this week.
I think the problem is, like, you know, it's hard to imagine the scenario where Chrissy sacrifices the relationship she's been building since the first day of the game with somebody who seems to be manageable under her thumb for a relationship with somebody who she's just burned and clearly has not much of a relationship at all with. And, you know, sticking with JP, if she's refusing to move away from that, then it's really up to Ryan to force something. And I don't see why he would do that. So I'm nervous for our winner pick, Gordon, if that tribe goes back to tribal council, I think we're both in big trouble, and so is Allie. Unless there's like some sort of other advantage still lurking out there that gets picked up at a reward challenge and foisted upon Allie, and she's able to do some damage with that. Hard to predict.
Now, I wonder, knowing what I know about this game, and I know all the contestants don't know about the Super Idol, and they don't know about the advantage-disadvantage, but if I do know about those things, if I'm at an immunity challenge when Jeff is given the business beforehand, I might act forlorn or depressed or, you know, make it seem like I'm on the outs, even if I'm not. Maybe someone can read that, and if an advantage happens, it comes my way based on, you know, how I'm acting around my tribe.
Interesting. So you want to sort of, I guess, the shades of Russell Hantz at times during Heroes versus Villains. And I'm not sure if that was sort of just like an incorrect read by JT in that season, or if Russell was sort of like doing that on purpose, where they end up sending him an idol in the same way, because they're like, oh, there's a woman's alliance that they're going after him next, that I can see it in his eyes. We got to help this guy out.
Right. And say I'm Devin, someone who knows about the idols or the things being passed along, and maybe my alliance doesn't. I was like, let's just pretend that I'm on the outs to give them misinformation. And then, you know, in the case that we have to go to tribal, you know, something might show up in your bag.
I think you got to develop hand signals pre-swap. That's the new move. You got to develop a line of visual communication that is subtle enough that no one else will notice it, but you will be able to communicate cross-tribally
like Bubba
with your partner. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, but subtle.
Like a series of flags being waved.
Yes. Yes.
Keywords.
So what should the signal be of, hey, I'm in trouble and send me in an advantage?
It would be something like the bird calls in the Three Amigos that Chevy Chase uses when he's dangling above El Wapo's compound. Something like that. Something subtle like that.
Yeah. I was going to suggest the sound of a dying giraffe. Mwah. Mwah.
Well, you know, this was something that I talked about with the mayo jar on last week's voicemail. Sorry, trigger warning for you, Josh. But but what do you think about the idea of survivors being able to pass idols cross-tribal before the swap in the same way that we have this advantage? Because I think that while on the surface, you're like, well, that's not fair. People would just, but like, would that many people like be like sending their idols to other people, or would they be holding it onto it? Because I think it creates a lot of opportunity for then after the merge, if say like Devin was in that spot and he knew, say, his ally had an idol, and if Ryan didn't send it to him, when they get to the merge, like, hey, you know, you could have sent me the idol. You know, I was in a tight spot there. You could have sent it to me. I think it could create a lot of potential animosity as well.
And this would be like a known thing, like an open part of the game is you can throw idols cross-tribally, or yeah, you just think that this is
in the period between a swap and the merge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why, you know, with people standing up and whispering openly at tribal council and like getting up and going over to somebody else's seat and then like having powwows and like the age of that, I don't see any reason why anyone would stop, you know, say Devin from stepping off of his mat and going over and giving an idol to Ryan. You know, if that was something that needed to happen, like, I don't imagine that being shut down. If that's the kind of thing that you're describing, or are you talking about doing it in secret? Like, it would be, like, privately, quietly passed along.
Well, I was thinking about it in the same way that the advantage gets passed around, but I guess if people, for whatever reason, don't like that idea of it being sort of like, this is like some artificial element that's being injected to the game, maybe sort of encouraging, you know, people to be sharing idols, like at a challenge, you could potentially toss something to the losing tribe after a challenge.
Man, so much happened. Like, you know, we see it, and it seems like, you know, we see the end of tribal, and then we see, you know, 45 minutes later, we see tribal council again. You know, the 3 days in between, anything could happen. So if there wasn't some kind of communication, you would have to be pretty tight with somebody to be able to hand off that advantage if you might not need to.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it'd be pretty easy to talk yourself out of, you know, passing the idol along.
So So I don't think it would happen that much, but I think it might be like curious, like, oh, should what should we do? Does that person have an idol? Did they get past an idol? So I think it would add a layer to potentially these situations where then, you know, some it like gives more outs to a person like a Rourke in that spot of, OK, well, I have a numbers disadvantage, you know, potentially, you know, she could have fostered a relationship where somebody was willing to pass her an idol. Like, I think it takes the chance to say, well, there was nothing I could do, you know, out of the mix a little bit more.
I think the only way I would be comfortable with this twist is if the idol included a JT-esque love note explaining how to play the idol.
Yes, in specific, vivid detail.
Yes.
That could be intercepted.
And put on eBay.
Yes, and laminated.
What did you guys think of what was happening?
God,
I'm really freaked out by
that. It sounds like the voice is saying Wanda.
Yeah, I like didn't want to be the first person to say that out loud, but it really does sound, I mean, frankly, it sounds like Wanda.
I thought you said that there was going to be no more Wanda on the Wiggle Room.
That is absolutely indeed what I said last week, that we would be done with Wanda in the Wiggle Room. I can't account for ghosts or, I don't know, parallel dimension type shenanigans that could be happening here. Gordon, you seriously can't hear this at all?
You will be visited by three Wandas. This is wildly unprofessional, Mr. Wiggler.
I don't know. All Wanda's Eve is really it's really happening right now.
Does she have candy?
She's here for the bit o' honey.
So anyway, can we talk about what's going on Yawa Beach, not Wanda Beach? Can we move away from Wanda Beach? I'd really like to get away from that. I would like to talk about the Red Tribe is the tribe I'm describing, Gordon.
And who's on the Red Tribe?
Jessica, Cole, Mike, okay. Lauren, and
Dr.
Ben.
Mike, Lauren, and Ben. Okay.
And who you have, who you are very low on, I felt like that Ben, you have all the way at number 10 in your power rankings, and Lauren at 13 in your power ranking.
By the way, Lauren, I feel like it bears mentioning, this is the 1 year anniversary of Lauren Rimmer finding out that she was truly in the mix for Survivor. She got the call back from casting on Halloween 2016. How about that?
How about that?
Look at that. My thoughts, just for the power rankings, it's not necessarily who do you think's doing the best, who do you think's going to win. It's more of a...
Who's likely to get voted out?
Exactly. And Lauren, you know, she's always she's easily annoyed. I hope when she's only saying these things in her confessionals and not saying them to the wrong person. You could see if she complained to Jessica about Cole, it could get back to Cole. I think Lauren's, if she's saying her complaints to the right people, she's fine. Obviously she was looking out for Ben when he was having, his PTSD, concerns. Ben was just low based on, I think very highly of Ben. I think he was just, might have just been low based on the preview where it looked like he might have been upset with another player or a turn of events or something like that, based on the game. So again, I think Lauren goes before Ben. I think Cole might even go before Ben, just with the way, you know, loose, like it's you see someone like that and he's got a heart of gold and he's gorgeous and he's got a six pack. It makes me feel a little better about myself with his flaws as far as gameplay go. That's how I'll pick up. Like, if I wasn't married, that's how I pick up girls. Be like, yeah, I don't look like Cole, but I know enough to keep our advantages secret. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't eat peanut butter with a spoon and then put the spoon back into the peanut butter. I don't double dip. Okay.
Yeah. But right now, like, you gotta be loving the Dr. Mike and Jessica. Like there's something to be said for, you have experience now trusting somebody and them betraying that trust. I haven't done that. There's got to be something said, especially someone like Jessica, who seems like she's going to be loyal. So there's got to be something said for the comparison between Cole and Dr. Mike for Jessica. So I have high hopes, you know, for the Jessica Michael.
Also, I don't think that we've talked about this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but by trade, isn't Jessica involved in nursing? And you have Dr. Mike, and there does seem to be this professional working relationship between the two of them. I think that that's a potential interesting note.
Oh, man, that's great. I just would love to see them, like, calculatedly, like, planning a blindside. Scalpel.
No, well, that was them digging up the idol that they were like, all right.
Shovel. Yeah.
He was digging and she was filling in. It's like, you know, with, when a dentist, how the dental hygienist has, like, the suction thing. So that's nice, them working as a couple.
Well, I don't want to, like, dig too deep into what the actual metaphor is with Dr. Mike as a urologist. But, it's interesting. It's a funny visual for sure.
On my episode recap, I've been grading people after every episode, and I made all these urine jokes for Mike and then finished, and I'm like, how much does urine actually have to do with urology? Probably not that much. I need to pull back on this method of joking with him.
It's an area of urology.
I was like, you're number one, and you're in a good spot, stuff like that. I wasn't proud of it.
It's a broader canvas than perhaps you want to consider.
Right.
I know we're going to get to the Wanda off soon enough. Although I feel like we've had like an eerie amount of Wanda already in this episode of the Hollow Wiggle Room.
I'd like to
have some idea. Gordon, what I'd like to do is, I know how much you enjoy when you do the Survivor Exit interviews. You love yourself some word association.
That's true. I like gimmicks that can be done frequently, and I don't have to think about that much.
How do you set up word association for your interviewee? Like, how does that that process go? Because I always feel like you hop into it so quickly, and I got to imagine there's some setup involved.
All right, here is a Wiggle Room exclusive, and I've been doing this for quite some time. And this is if you're a CBS representative, you've heard this shtick maybe about 100 times. We do a little bit of a word association here. I'll give you the name of someone on your tribe to get to know them a little bit better. You give me a word, sentence, paragraph, haiku, whatever you got. And let's start off with Chrissy.
Got it.
Right? It's the same shtick every time.
Every single time.
And what do you prefer? Do you want a one-word answer back, or you don't mind if it's like a sentence?
I don't mind it's a sentence as long as it isn't like forever. Like, because the thing people care about my exit interviews is the word association. So if I can't get them all in, I'll hear about it. So I'll probably start that. We get like 15 minutes. I'll try to do it at 8. And if it goes long, that I think we all do this. You try to hit the important things first. But if somebody goes too long, that can really cut into what I was hoping to do with the interview.
I want to get, I mean, maybe this would have made more sense to do at the top of the podcast to kind of just get like the broad base level of knowledge of what you're thinking about the cast this season. But can I turn the tables on you and get your word association for everybody this season?
All right. Only if you do my intro properly.
Oh, God. I should have been paying more attention. This is word association time. I'm Gordon Holmes. I've got the coolest hair of anybody on the planet, and everything that I do is great. And you should be really psyched about the word associations right now. That's how
uncanny.
It goes?
Uncanny. Uncanny.
That's a pretty good impression.
Was it Mayo Jar who was saying that you suck kneecaps too much?
That's what I'm hoping for Halloween this season. And like the full-size kneecaps, not the fun size. I don't want fun-size kneecaps.
That's what I said. If you're ever on Survivor, you're going to be interviewed by three guys. One of them is Dalton Ross, and he's super chill. The other one is Josh Wiggler, the nicest, most positive human being you're ever going to meet. And the third, the sweatiest one, is me, who is grumpy 99% of the time.
You are not. You are a delight.
I think that's an interesting grouping, because I never really considered you guys like the American Idol judges of the Survivor preseason. But, I mean, that does, you know, map out very nicely to that. Dalton is like the Randy, and he's like, yo, dog, what's going on? Very chill, very relaxed. Josh is like the super nice.
He's kind of through his business pretty fast as well. Yeah. Like, that's one of his talents is he's got super speed, Dalton Ross.
Yeah, and Josh is the super nice Paula, who's like very like comforting, and people feel like that he's very approachable. And then Gordon is like the very sweaty, mean Simon.
Basically, I'm not necessarily mean to the contestants. I'm just usually cranky. In a bad mood. It does not take much.
Yeah, it's not your fault. Typically, is my opinion on the matter.
Okay,
I'll just leave it there. Let's do some word association. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, Ben Driebergen.
Good guy.
Allie Elliott.
Oh, dream girl.
JP.
Well, I thought that Jessica was the dream girl.
I have a crush on Jessica, but Allie, as far as like what it takes to win the game, that is Allie.
All right, JP.
JP, doorstop.
Doorstop. Cole.
Imperfect.
Imperfect. Jessica, Nurse Jessica.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Chrissy Hofbeck.
Cunning.
Jomina.
Joni Vlachos.
Joni Vlachos.
Joni loves Vlachos.
And we're sure that that's not Tony, right? That's Joe. Don't you call him
Joe.
Tony?
Yeah. Phony.
Yeah. Ashley Nolan.
Just going along.
Just going along and things like that. Devin Pinto.
He is crap. He's the new heel in the Star Wars movies.
Oh, he's Kylo Ren?
He's Kylo Ren, yes.
That's a pretty good take. I like that. Lauren Rimmer.
Lauren. Potential.
Potential. Ryan Ulrich.
Oh, he's just the, I said I could do a haiku. He is just like the new guy that people are going to be scared to death on this show in the future. Just like the unassuming, like the self-deprecating person that you really got to keep an eye on because he's thinking three moves ahead.
Is he ruining that archetype for all future, like, Ryan-esque players?
I think that every season owes a lot to the last season they saw before they went on location. So the seasons going forward, 37 and 38, I think the Ryan types are going to be in big trouble.
All right, two more. Desi.
Desi. I like Desi a lot. I want to see more of her. In more of her gameplay. Yeah,
easy.
More for a married man. More for gameplay.
All right. Last one is Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike. He reminds me of Ty a lot in that it's like this guy that settle down. Like, you know, you can you're playing too fast. But they're likable enough that it makes up for that.
So when you do these with the interviewees, you often like dig back into the word association to like describe further what it was they were driving at. How do you identify that so quickly on the fly? Is there just one that typically stands out to you as like, oh, that's interesting, I want to know more? Or is it about somebody that you already want to know more about? How do you typically decide that?
It's a gift, Josh.
One of your many.
It's just a gift, man. Usually you have a good idea of what it's going to be. And if it's like an inside joke that no one's going to care about, you just let it go. But sometimes you'll get somebody like with Rourke. She was just had glowing things to say about Joe. And I feel like Joe's been getting a little bit of a bad rap. And I wanted to dig into that and get to know what aren't we seeing about Joe that makes you consider him trustworthy and really likable. So usually it's to clarify something that surprises me.
What do you think about Joe's 280 characters on Twitter?
I admit to being enjoying the Joe Fairplay feud. But, you know, there's always a bit of a worry where it's like sometimes you don't want to read into how somebody is acting on social media as far as how well they did in the game. Because some people enjoy Survivor knowing what's happened. I don't. I much prefer being surprised. So sometimes I know there was a social media ban a few years ago, and I'm not for a full ban, but I would be okay if they made them pull back a little bit. I blame the Dirty 30. This is mainly the Dirty 30's fault.
Oh, we're kicking that hornet's nest, Gordon.
Yeah,
this is what happened when Dr. Mike kicked the hornet's nest.
For so many reasons, that's not okay.
Did you see that secret scene?
No.
Yeah. He literally will look for the hidden immunity idol in the hornet.
Oh, my God. Goodness. Not great. Yeah. Not great. That's what happens when you kick the hornet's nest. The Wanda ghost comes to haunt you forever. Oh, God.
I don't want to blow everybody's minds, but one of those was me.
Oh, wow.
I'm assuming there was a second one.
Yeah. It is a fair assumption. I am afraid of the Wanda. Wait, can you explain then, just to dial it back to word association, Lauren Rimmer, potential. What's the potential you see in Lauren this season, Gordon?
Like I said, I think Lauren is the classic person in the pregame interviews that you're like, she's probably one of the first ones out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk to Katrina. Was it Katrina the first from that tribe to go home?
Yeah, Katrina's the first one out, period.
Yeah, talk to her, and you hear about her and Ryan bonding and all this. And she it's a thing where, like I said, she's complaining about Cole. Who is she complaining about Cole to? If she's smart enough to do it just to Ben, she's good. If she's doing it to Jessica or Mike, probably a problem. But she's somebody I could see hitting the merge and then coasting for a while and having a lot of opportunity to make moves. So she's somebody who I think has done better than we probably anticipated in the pregame and has potential to make a run for it.
Yeah, I mean, I walked away from my interview with Lauren when I was out there, like, really liking Lauren a lot as a human being, but not thinking that, like, she had a ton of Survivor game in her. So I was really shocked when she beat out Patrick in that third tribal council, and Patrick's the guy who went home and Lauren was still standing. But, like, if you had asked me to, like, bet on where people would fall in the, you know, before start, I would have totally called Lauren to go home fairly early. And I don't know, like, I feel like she's going to be here for a while. And I just think it's interesting that you're saying potential with her, because I do think that there is some sort of sea change in terms of the perception of Lauren that's going on right now. Like, she's been really snarky to the camera, so she's become a really fun character in that way, I think. Like, this real dry wit. She had this great moment this week where she goes to console Ben in that incredibly powerful scene. And she knows when to walk away without any, you know, kind of frustration over that. So I really like Lauren right now, and I like her spot in the game where I could really see Lauren making it really deep, especially if that tribe, if Yawa can stick out of tribal council until everybody merges up again, or gets together rather at the merge. I think that she could be, you know, she could be in really great shape going really, really deep into the season.
I just worry she gets to final tribal council. And somebody points out the comments she's been making towards redheads, and that is not going to fare well for her.
That would be
not
bad.
Good.
That'd be tough.
Not good.
That'd be bad.
Gordon, that there was a period of time when it felt like people were coming into the word association with the canned answers as opposed to sort of like the organic answers. And it seems like that does not happen as much anymore. Is that something that just sort of ended up coming and going on its own, or did you ask people to just try to give more just natural answers?
Well, I blame Malcolm Freeberg for that, for starting that. And then once again, the Dirty 30 made it a point where I feel like the majority of them did that. And they were like a tight knit group. And I think that was just, you know, I was the only press member, with the exception of the CBS EPK team with Parvati, that was out there. So, in much the same way that this cast probably feels like Josh is their guy, I know the Dirty 30 felt like I was their guy. So it was just like a thing they were doing. And if I know the Survivor well,
where the idols are,
and do it. I think where the idols are exactly. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know how much of this cast even knows who I am or knows to expect it. I assume, you know, they will probably get more acquainted with me as the season goes on, and they're reading their former. The castaway interviews, but I want what they want to tell me, and you know, the worst is when, you know, it's and I was probably guilty of this, when they just say like a word that remind, like, you know, if someone says JP and they go firefighter or something like that. So as long as it's honest, I'm okay with it.
Just while we're on the subject of like kind of incredibly epic answers in interviews, or like elaborate answers in Survivor interviews, did you guys check out Dalton's Probst column this week by any chance?
Never.
You never scope out the competition, Gordon?
It just makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah, no, me too.
I am a regular reader. Which aspect, Josh?
I thought that there was a great back and forth this week that I felt was kind of a legendary moment. When Dalton does his interviews with Jeff, he does about four questions with Jeff, and Jeff usually gives like pretty long-winded answers, really kind of waxing poetic on the topics that Dalton's bringing up. This is Dalton's question. We saw Dr. Mike and Jessica smartly looking for an idol in the same spot on a different beach where Joe found his. Are you at all concerned that by putting idols in identical spots, it will increase the chance that one person can load up on idols during merges and tribe swaps like Ty did last season? That's Dalton's question. And Jeff's answer is nope. Nope. I just thought that was great. I thought that was fantastic.
I think that the show doesn't care if one person potentially got two or three idols at the same time, because I think that, you know, we saw in season 34, there was a tendency for people to hold on to their advantages to go very far. But I think that people with multiple advantages are probably more likely to play one of them. And I do think that having the advantages and idols played is what production is ultimately hoping for. We saw Jeremy Collins in Survivor A Second Chance have two idols, and then he was, you know, played one at a very opportune time for Stephen Fishback, and that was, you know, a very exciting moment in that season. So I don't think that the show particularly minds if, say, like Joe was able to, and somehow Joe has not found the other idol at that camp, right, even though it's in the same place as the one that he found. I think that that was a true answer. I don't think they care, but I don't think they want to come out and say like, hey, we don't care if somebody finds three idols, but I do think that that's the truth.
I think it's just spectacular that he just responded with the single word, nope.
Yeah, he took a page out of your book, Josh.
It was really, really, but it was like the Lucille Bluth thing. I do not understand the question and I will not respond to it. Just, you know, in one word answer form. And I thought that was hilarious. I just thought that was great.
All right. So let's get into what everybody has been dying to hear.
Everybody.
Right, yes. Well, look,
I see you, Sarah.
Yes. Look, hey, Sarah Channon has places to be. Okay. So we have scaled down the wand off a little bit this week.
Excuse me.
But if you are not into the wand off, feel free. You can turn off the podcast now, and I don't think you're going to miss anything. I mean, you could argue that you didn't miss anything listening to this part to get to this point.
That's at Gordon Holmes at Twitter.
Yes.
Gordon W. Holmes on Instagram.
Get all the plugs out. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, all right. Of course, it's time for this week's wand off. Actually, we don't have a wand off opening theme song. I feel like that could be a good submission for somebody to add to the list of the.
Yeah, I wonder if we've got anything that would be fitting the bill during this Halloween themed episode of the wand off.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wanda, right on cue. Oh, man. Are you afraid of the wand off a little bit? A little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Let's update the poll from last week, of course, courtesy of the tabulator, Kurt Clark, that he tallied. We had 18 total submissions last week. We allowed everybody to vote on that. We will have a narrower field this week. But with coming in third place, a great entry from Dan Sinensky, Don't You Call Me Tony.
That got third. I really thought that was going to be the
14%
winner. That's where my vote went. Don't You Call Me Tony.
Yeah. Then coming in second place, this could be a bit of an upset. It was Jenny and Colin, Alan Ball So Hard, 20.45% of the vote.
That was another really, really good one, okay, too. Very talented.
And then the winner, and some might say this was an upset, but it was Shame on a Player by the Wu Huang Clan, courtesy of Eric H. Oh.
Wow. Well, I do believe Joe Mina retweeted the poll and endorsed the Wu Huang Clan.
Yes, this was a Joe Mina endorsed winner of last week's wand off.
Shame on a player who trying to run game on Joe Mina. Clony Buck Wild with the idol.
Gordon, that'll be Joe Mina's entrance music for the battle against Johnny Fairplay.
I just think I can't wait, but I think swap it like it hot was rough.
Okay. All right.
We did it no favors. We did it no favors by missing the Spice Girls at all.
No, not swap. Swap it like it's hot.
Oh,
the Snoop Dogg song.
All right.
Sure. I just have Spice Girls still stuck in my head. Well, that's great. Wu Huang Clan, come on down. You're going to the Wandoff Finals in a few weeks, and you have to show up as the Wu Huang Clan. That's the rule that is in place just for you.
All right. So before we get to our top five of the week, I have some honorable or potentially dishonorable mentions to get through. This is just a little bit of a snippet of a couple of songs that I just wanted to get out there. First up here, this is Daniel.
I vote out Rourke, 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 Rourke. You should vote out Rourke, 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 Rourke. Nothing rhymes with Rourke, 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 Rourke.
That is where you're wrong, Daniel. I think that as a lot of our submissions will prove, there are a lot of words that rhyme with Rourke.
Fork, fork.
Yeah. Okay.
Mindy and Mork.
It sounded like the Swedish Chef.
All right. Shut Up Tim was back this week talking. He's very concerned about Ryan's well-being during the challenge.
I think this challenge is too tough. Pushing a ball with my head is rough. That's it. I've had enough, JP. Throw me on the mat. You think I like watching you cut up coconuts, but my neck is hurting, so throw me on the mat. Just
okay.
Oh god, that was great. Yeah, we didn't even talk about the wiggle room challenge, the official wiggle challenge of the season, of wiggling around in the sand. I feel like that was a missed opportunity. That shot of JP throwing Ryan onto the mat was spectacular. That was amazing. Yeah.
And Ben Dreebergen retweeting of it was also fantastic.
Ben Treberg and Twitter game this past weekend was something special, for sure. Especially centered on JP.
Right, really good.
I dare not describe what he was retweeting.
Right, here is Justin, who is bringing some Springsteen into the mix.
Can't be a healer without social work. Rourke got blindsided. Now she's just dancing in the Rourke.
I wasn't feeling it until the very end.
For the record, though, in fairness to Daniel, Rourke does not rhyme with dark.
But if it was just a long way for dancing in the Rourke, I feel like it deserves praise just for that alone. Okay. That's
all
great.
Right.
That's the key to my
two
heart.
Other honorable mentions. Here's David.
Crazy, don't like her. Rourke the healer. Rourke the healer.
And then, Gordon, I'm not sure if you are as big of a Foo Fighters fan as potentially Jeff Probst or John Kierhofer. But Alex was back to honor the Foo Fighters once again with this Dr. Mike tribute.
And then Dr. Mike had found the idol. Hopefully it saves his survivor's soul. The only thing he'll ever ask of Jess, you've got to promise not to tell your boyfriend, Cole. Mike said,
yes,
yeah.
You know, I was watching that reward challenge before they said anything about Foo Fighters, and Probst said something about the color and the shape, and I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's like the Foo Fighters song. And then when I got, you know, they told us that was something to look out for, dove back into it, and like was able to get five of the six without any prompting, and then had to figure out the sixth for myself.
My poor brain tried it.
That's what everybody said after they listened to the Wandoff last week.
Oh, okay. My God. All right. And we're not even in the proper Wandoff yet.
Look, we warned people. We warned people to get out. Okay.
No, I know. All right. I don't feel bad about it. I'm just excited.
All right. So we have our top five for this week's Wandoff proper. Okay. We have to start off with JD and Leah. Of course, they were the composers that I credited with an original composition last week, and that we got many listeners who wrote in after we had said that that was an original composition, not a Spice Girls song, and they said,
my poor brain tried it.
That's what Josh said at reading his Twitter mentions.
It was awful. It was hell, spice hell.
So JD and Leah decided that they were going to give us something that at least Josh and I would recognize. I play you their parody song for Rourke.
Rob and Josh. It's JD.
And Leah. It seems we caused quite the ruckus last week with our Spice Girls parody. So this week, we chose a song that we think you'll know.
And just to be sure, I've included it in the email, too.
Brooke saw when the new traps came. It's a numbers game. She knew where she stood. Made an ally of Valley. Things were looking good. But Ryan and Chrissy had a bond that left her blind. The swap really screwed Rourke on day nine.
That's good. I
like
that.
That was legitimately gorgeous.
Yeah. That was great. That was great. Like I stopped speaking. Like, you know, I'm I don't know what to say. That was, first of all, Billy Joel obviously is the only artist that I know, the only musical artist that I could recognize without any sort of prompting. Right. So points for that.
Yeah, Swap really screwed Rourke on day nine. All right.
That was great.
Jenny
was
and good. Colin, some would say they got screwed last week by the social media campaign of the Joe Mina endorsed song from last week. They came in second place, but they did not let it get them down. They are back once again with some works from Muffin Elliott. Here is Jenny and Colin.
DJ Rob, please play our song in the wand of...
Oh, yes,
we barely got to know her, so let us tell ya all about Rourke from the tribe he loves. Photo every day taken by her father, but in the swap she got screwed over. Tried to work with Allie, Ryan said nah. Jeff asked how she felt, same comfortable.
Let's flash back to the tribe he loves. When she cooked for Joe, it's rapatata, rapatata, ta 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 ta. He's cooking out loud, blah blah blah.
Rourke it.
He needs a glass of water. Healer's tribe, it was good to know ya.
Couldn't Rourke it. No more torch lit. Take the swap back, flip it and reverse it. This roof for minute built cat box against. This roof for minute built cat box against.
JP's got a big. Alan searched it. Then got voted out like a girl Rourke did.
This roof for minute built cat box against. This roof for minute built cat box against.
Wow.
Wow.
That was
Rob,
so good.
You need to find out how to play that part backwards. There might be a McCartney is Dead level secret
in
there.
Wow.
There is a great quality to a great wand off, I think, which is like if you can have some lead up to like knowing like what the hook of the song is going to be. Like if you have that moment to process, oh my God, it's Rourke. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's good. Like you want that sort of preemptive belly laugh. That was hysterical. I'm still recovering.
Did a great job.
That was
when
really
you were
funny.
When you were doing the honorable mentions, I'm like, some of these are really good, and wow, I'm impressed. Don't you
the
love
production
this
value is really there this week for all of the Rourke entries. Okay, let's go with Sean, and that there were a number of people that sent in this entry. I thought he did it the best. Here's Sean.
Always used to be in control. She even got rid of a bulletin. But now all that comforts her is a turtleneck shirt. And now Devin, he's got a new tribe. Promising rocks to his girl on the side. 2v2 is coming. Look out, Joe and Desi. They doubted Dr. Mike, but he's had enough. Found an idol now, that's what's up. Better watch out, Cole, cause your girl can get a new man who can keep a secret. It's challenge time, and so go sucks. Tribal council coming soon enough, but they've got a plan, and Ali knows. The hustlers got in alliance, been tested at tribal council fires. Ali, she trusts Ryan, but Ryan will vote out Rourke. Chrissy outsmarted Mrs. Smarty Pants. Allie, she trusts Ryan, but Ryan will vote out. Oh, 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 oh,
Okay, that's Sean.
That's great. I mean, I do think that felt like the no-brainer we were going to hear.
But that was the best executed version of that that we
Rourke
got.
By Katy Terry. Yeah. Yeah, that was great. I like that a lot.
All right. So this is one. I believe that Wanda actually parodied this song way back when during Survivor Korong.
Oh, a time before all she knew was paparazzi and the Are You Afraid of the Dark theme song?
All right. Here is Jason.
Is so bad at puzzles, Ryan is so skinny. You can tell from my rhymes that I'm definitely teen.
Queen Rourke, real life jungle where queens are slayed soon. Sandra and Alicia too, but none quite like Queen Rourke. Wentworth 2.0, so bring me back. Beat by JP and things like that. Let's hear it for Queen Rourke, Queen Rourke, Queen Rourke.
Love it.
Okay. Now, I don't know what our policy is in terms of Wandoff winners coming back, but Shannon Gates, she ended up winning the Wandoff with Will from America for Cole New World a couple of weeks ago. But now she's back as a solo artist, so I'm not sure if that counts or not. Here's her entry. It's the fifth and final in the Wandoff this week.
I supposed to know that I would make you cry, yeah. Oh, Allie, Allie, I shouldn't have changed my vote to leave you blindsided. Sorry, should have voted Chrissy or for JP. Now I'm stuck with Lauren or Devin. This hustling is killing me, and I wish I started on Heroes Beach. Heroes Beach. When I vote with you, my life is fine. Can we align? Vote with me, Allie, one more time.
Wow.
That was terrific, of course, but I am afraid that it has left me with the most haunting image of the entire podcast, which is Ryan Ulrich's Britney Spears, which is a frightening prospect to imagine Ryan in Oops, I Did It Again mode would be bad. All of this would be very, very bad.
He was trying on Katrina's clothes, so.
It was Simone's clothes, but yes.
Simone's clothes, yes.
God. Oh, that's a haunting prospect for this Halloween, for this Hollow Wiggle Room.
Wanda, Wanda, Wanda.
All right, okay, all right, we get it. So look, I think I know what's going on with that. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want it to be a real thing. I kind of hoped it would just go away on its own, but I think I know why Wanda is haunting us. She sent me an email during the week between Wiggle Rooms and was not thrilled with the fact that she had been laid off from the Wiggle Room. Was not pleased and threatened that I would really come to regret this decision. And if I ever wanted to change my mind, all I would have to do is play her next song in the Wiggle Room, which I really didn't want to do because we probably know it's just paparazzi again. And I'm kind of out on the Wanderazzi. But do you think she'll go away if we just like play a Wanda song and just like, will that exercise the demons from the Wiggle Room this week?
Look, Josh, normally I'm a big believer in not negotiating with terrorists, but I literally don't know what else we can do.
I think we're out of choices.
Seems like as good of an idea as anything.
All right. Well, all right. It's probably just paparazzi, but let's just let it rip. Let's see what happens.
Wiggle Room exclusive time.
Hey, Wanda.
Work, 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 work,
Wanda, Wanda, Wanda.
Yeah, I think we fell for that. I think we fell right into that trap.
Now that sounded like the Swedish Chef.
Boy.
Well, so that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what to do about this. Wanda is torturing us. She has a fixation on paparazzi. We try to remove her from the Wiggle Room.
Is there a clue in the song, paparazzi? Do we need to, like, really look at the lyrics? Is she trying to tell us something?
I wonder. This is not the Wanda that I know. So, like, clearly something is off. I can't figure it out. There's got to be something here. Anyway, developing story, I guess. We could say Wanda's gone from the Wiggle Room, but I don't know that there's anything we can really, truly do.
It's kind of a bleak picture you're painting, Josh.
It's a frightening prospect, but, you know, it is Halloween, and this is a time to be scared, I suppose.
I guess so. The good news is the great Gordon Holmes will be continuing on his power rankings and not just writing like the posting the same thing every single week like Wanda has been doing this season. Of course, then you could follow them on Xfinity TV, right, Gordon?
Some people would argue I've been doing the same thing for 11 years, Rob.
No.
yeah, the best way to find my...
Listen, as they say, if it ain't Rourke, don't fix it.
Do we give our picks for what we thought were the best Wandoff things, or does that tilt the voting?
I don't want to put my thumb on the scale, but if you would like to endorse something as the guest, I feel like that you're well within your right.
Okay, I don't want to go.
What impressed you, Simon?
I don't want to go all Joe on everybody, but that was terrible. I got a Rourke. Rourke was doing it for me.
Okay, Jenny and Colin.
I might number put that two. In my workout mix that I never listened to.
Your Rourke out mix.
My Rourke out mix.
Yeah. All right. Well, the tabulator will have a new poll that we will post in the post for this page and on Twitter. So be on the lookout for that to see who is the winner of this week's Wandoff. And Gordon, I'm very excited that you will be with us in New York City for the upcoming live Know-It-Alls. I'm very excited. We've never had you at one of these before.
I know. This is actually going to be my first ever survive in the 10, 11 years I've been doing this. First ever Survivor fan event I've ever been attending. I'm terrified. I'll probably be hiding under a table somewhere.
Okay. Do you want the listeners of this podcast to stay back if they recognize you? Do you want just some sort of like a signal that they should give you if it's okay to approach?
Oh, no.
Like the sound of a dying giraffe?
Like Chevy Chase dangling above El Wapo's compound?
Yeah.
No, of course not. If anybody enjoys my stuff enough to want to talk to me, then I absolutely do want to talk to them. So I'm very excited, but the social anxiety in me is a little bit freaked out. So treat me the same way you would a wounded puppy. Just be gentle.
Do you already know what you're going to be wearing so you can have like an identifying characteristic so everybody knows without a shadow of a doubt that that is Gordon Holmes?
Well,
and if not,
me,
can we pick out your outfit right now?
Knowing me, it's usually a button-down shirt and jeans, but Josh, you know, I always...
No one else is going to be wearing that, so you're good.
I usually wear a plaid shirt, and I would always yield to your fashion advice, Josh. You know that.
All right, well, I'll come up with something.
Do you have a Pillsbury Doughboy costume?
I don't. Unfortunately, that did not make the trip back from Indonesia. But
God.
Yes.
Okay.
If you walk away from this night without like a single piece of Stay Puft Marshmallow memorabilia, I'm going to be disappointed. Like somebody is going to come up to you with some sort of Ghostbusters artifact.
I'm in my office in my home right now, and I have a shelf dedicated to Mr. Stay Puft. So if anybody has anything they want to give up, I'm happy to take it.
Duplicates. Wow. Duplicates would be a disappointment.
Well, great job, Gordon, and pleasure to have you here on the Wiggle Room podcast. A real treat, like as Stay Puft Marshmallows are at any meal.
Oh, wait, I wanted to ask Gordon. Gordon, how jealous were you of the iced coffee challenge? Because you know that was the iced coffee.
So jealous. Like, I think one of the things that people don't appreciate is like, you know, they'll get an award. It's like bagels and Danishes or whatnot, which are great. But the Survivor iced coffee My God, if they bottled that and put that into supermarkets, they wouldn't need to run this silly TV show anymore. They would be rich based on iced coffee sales alone.
It's really good. It's very good. I'm sure it went immediately through them, but worth it. Worth every second of it.
Yes, I'm sure when you're starving and dehydrated, it's probably the best possible thing to have in your system.
Gordon, any updates on the Survivor Hall of Fame as we start to get to the most wonderful time of the year?
Oh, the Survivor Hall of Fame is actually taking a hiatus this year.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot going on.
Too many people are in anyway.
I'm hearing.
In fact,
those
we should vote
well.
Somebody out of the Survivor Hall of Fame this year. That's what I propose.
That's actually a hell of an idea.
That's hysterical. Vote three people out of the Hall of Fame this year.
Three votes, and everybody get together, and then we're going to vote somebody out of the Survivor Hall of Fame this year.
That's an amazing idea.
Think about it.
And then they have to send their water bottle back, or whatever it was they received.
That's right.
I love that water bottle.
Okay.
All right.
And of course, Josh Wiggler, you can follow Josh on Twitter at Round Howard. Josh, I know that we have a lot of stuff going on, including another episode of our Game of Thrones rewatch that is dropping, our Walking Dead feedback show over on Post Show Recap, your ongoing coverage of Mr. Robot with Antonio Mazzaro.
Yeah, there's even going to be a Stranger Things one-time-only podcast with Antonio Mazzaro coming your way very soon. So tons of stuff happening on the Post Show Recap.
Although there are a few stranger things than this podcast.
That is true, especially this week's podcast. It was very spooky. It was very, I don't know what was going on with all of
it. Wanda, Wanda, Wanda.
It just took me this long to come up with Are You Afraid of the Shirk? Although I suppose Are You Afraid of the Rourke also works.
Are you afraid of the Rourke? All right. Well, great job, guys. Steven and I will be back with the Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up this Wednesday night. And we got another great week of podcasts coming up. I will be having David Wright here in the studio on Thursday.
Ooh,
and then we'll
nice.
Get into your Survivor voicemails with Paul Osselson, Survivor historian. So lots of great stuff coming up in week 6 of Survivor HHH. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Shame on a player who trying to run game on Jumina. Clony Buck Wild with the idol. Shame on a player who trying to run game on Jumina. He'll vote your ass out. Yo. Joe's never out. Check his authority. He'll get it done even when he's in the minority. He's no joker. Play him as a joker. He'll make your game look mediocre. He be acting psycho anyway. Be like, hello, bring the votes my way. Burn Desi though, so he's gotta show his loyalty. He used an idol on himself because Ashley gave him the idea. Did Alan Durney cracked him open like a coconut? Oh, too soon, this image stuck in his head like JP's butt. Blindside, taste the game of Jomina. Rah, here comes the reign of the malicious hyena. Devin, he may have mismanaged, but wait a second. This is no advantage. Joe, still coming through on a CBS station near you. How many more blindsides will he construe? What?